Ladies and gentlemen, presenting the Dr. Susan Lee Show.
All right, so Jackie, how are you? I'm interviewing Jackie Callis, and she has been walking a crop circle. As if you've been following my newsletters, you know that I've been kind of on this crop circle thing the last couple times, and the Arcturians have definitely been guiding me in that direction. And then after my first one with the walking of the crop circles, Jackie calls me and says she actually walked a crop circle. So therefore, she is the go-to girl right now. And so I'm sure we would all love to hear that experience. And at the end, she's going to give us a marvelous journey through the crop circle so we can all share that experience. But let's start off, Jackie. Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and what it's like to live where you live? And tell them exactly where you live, because I might say it wrong.
hello, Sue. Well, I guess the obvious thing is that I'm English, or probably I should say British, because I used to live in Scotland for quite a few formative years in my teens. And I kind of imagine that, I know you've got an international audience, but I kind of imagine that most of your audience fan bases is American. So anyway, that's quite obvious, I think, that I'm English here. At the moment, I'm living in Cornwall, magical Cornwall, and I used to live in London before that, but I have lived all over England and never actually been to America, although, which seems incredible to me because I just feel as if I'm so much a part of America. I guess we all do with the TV shows and everything throughout our lives, but it's quite a strange thing for me that I haven't been to America ever. I'm sure one day I will get there and come visit you. I'm living in Cornwall. It's fantastic. It's magical. Cornwall's a great place, and it's very different from the rest of England. It's a country unto its own, really, and it's had that through its history. It took a long time for the Romans to get down here. It managed to keep its independence, and it's still kind of fighting for its independence down here now. Not many people travel down to this part of the world, and it's right on the edge,
I'm sorry, I was going to say this. It's a part of the world where the land of fairy is still very much alive, isn't it?
It is. There's a lot of poverty in Cornwall, actually, but there's a lot of spirituality as well. And there's loads of healers and artists and musicians here that have moved into Cornwall. So it has this great light as well for artists, and it's surrounded by the sea. And, yes, it's got a huge connection to fairy, absolutely. And you've lived here, haven't you, Sue, in a life in
absolutely.
Fairy?
Absolutely.
As I've had many lives in America, so I've been told. Okay, so I guess like you, I would say that I've been on the path all my life. I suppose I call myself a spiritual seeker, but maybe now I'd say I was a light worker. I didn't have religious parents. I had not much experience of the church. I moved a lot because my father was in the Air Force. So I didn't have a lot of religion to chuck out, and from a very young age I started asking spiritual questions, and I suppose that it's only a few years ago I realized that not everybody was like me when they were young. Well, you're driven, aren't you? I thought everybody was sort of driven to find it, but I remember my brother saying recently, you used to think things like that, questions like that when you were a kid.
Yeah,
you couldn't believe it, you
great.
Know. But it's one of those things, isn't it? I had quite a big alien connection when I was kind of 9 or 10 as well, and that's kind of stayed with me all my life. I went to art college and did fine art eventually, and that gave me quite a big spiritual connection, although I was learning about spirituality through my art and reading loads of books, Hermann Hesse and Carlos Castaneda and all the different sort of Buddhism, all the different religions. And I kind of formed my own opinions, and I had some fantastic experiences, which now I kind of realize that I was, you know, going into a different dimension. It's because of creativity moving so fast, really. The more and more creative, I wasn't probably very grounded, and I could feel myself almost slipping into parallel worlds or whatever at different times. And I had a great experience when I was 28 as well. At art college, I got into playing music, and I also got into politics. It was rock against sexism, rock against racism time, and I was quite heavily involved in that. And during that time, I guess I had to let go of some of my spiritual beliefs or put them on a back burner, because it wasn't very popular at the time within the people, the peer group I was around. But then probably around 28, the things all did come back in together, and I realized that the feelings I had around politics were the same feelings I had around spirituality, which was liberation for all, equality for all, freedom for all, and you know, the same sorts of beliefs, really.
Could you take a second and tell us a bit about the, you know, just shortly tell us about that experience you had at 28, the parallel worlds, because I know a lot of people are seeing other realities out of the corner of their eyes and seeing things that are there, but then they're not there a second later. So a lot of people are really waking up and having experiences, and I think they'd be really interested in hearing, you know, about what happened with you when you had said you were 28, right?
I was 28, so I know it was around my Saturn return, but I didn't know that then. But, everything had been going a bit faster and faster in my life, and I found myself in this situation where I was a kind of, like, auntie to people. I'd have people either side of me in relationships coming and talking to me. But I wasn't in a relationship myself, and I was just having this constantly happening with people. And then one time it kind of hit ahead with something with my brother and his wife, And I just really got very upset about the situation. And I went up to the bathroom and I just started just crying, really. I remember thinking I want to drown in my tears. It was like a total catharsis. I just let everything go and just thought I just had enough, really. I was being probably a bit prima donna-ish, but I just thought I had enough. And then I heard this voice say, I thought it was my brother, saying, come on, get up and come out. But he said he didn't say anything at all. So I definitely heard this voice telling me to get up. And then after that, a few days after that, I started to be aware of, it was as if some veils had been taken away from me. And I could just see behind things. I could look at people's faces and I could just see the real feeling behind their faces. I just knew the truth of what everybody was saying. I became very telepathic, and now I look at it, I think that, it was like becoming fifth dimensional. I had this feeling of total love, and nothing took it away. Well, some things did. I sort of stopped drinking alcohol, and I stopped smoking cigarettes during that time, because it would just take the kind of higher vibration away. And it was just such a lovely feeling. I just remember thinking, without any external stimulants, I was just high all the time, feeling completely in love. And I think people used to call me Wacky Jackie at that time, because they couldn't really understand it. But I would just go to places and know where I'd be at the right time. I was just, I suppose, totally following my intuition. But I was really aware of inanimate objects having life, and I was kind of connected with everything. But it's in hindsight that I kind of realize that now. It didn't scare me at all at the time. I was young and full of my own self, and very excited by it and some what was happening in some respects. But it did get eventually, because I wasn't grounded, that eventually I started to get fear come in. And I remember once being on the underground tube and everybody's faces started to change into sort of monstery alien sort of faces, which a teacher has told me that's the real faces of everybody. And I was just seeing behind the sort of the veil. But it did scare me, and I started to think that somebody might think I was crazy, and then crazy in inverted commas, and I started to kind of withdraw somehow and go back, and the fear, I think, took me back eventually to my other three-dimensional life.
Well, you know, that's a really good point because there's two things. One thing, you got a preview of coming attractions, which I'm sure a lot of us have had, you know, through our meditations or through our experiences. But what happens is when we raise our consciousness or expand our consciousness up into the higher frequencies and we're actually being fifth dimensional, which I think that's what was happening with you, then, you know, what goes up comes down. You know, energy travels in circles. So as it goes up, eventually it goes down. And so if we're not really sufficiently grounded, even if we are grounded, grounded is vital, but the thing is that we have this world, but there's things inside of us that says, no, you can't, no, you can't, no, you can't. And so when that circle goes down, we go into our subconscious. We leave our superconscious. We move into our subconscious. And then we have to do this work of, okay, it's like this is what you can have, and this is what you need to release so that you can have it. And that's what the Arcturians have been saying over and over, that we now have constantly need to live in this choice of releasing anything that stands in the way of our ascension and keeping our eyes focused on that ascension. So you did write yourself, obviously, and you're back doing wonderful things. And,
yeah, and also
and
I didn't...
Crop circle. Can you tell us a little bit about the crop circles and...
Yes, I will do. I just one other thing about saying about that experience is I didn't used to meditate then. I didn't actually go in and meditate until years later. And so I do wonder what it'd been like what it would have felt like on the inside if it felt like that on the outside. But anyway, now
your soul was tapping you on the shoulder. And, you know, lots of times these things happen spontaneously without meditating because we just have this connection with our soul that says, okay, hello, and you were awake enough and innocent and pure enough that you could hear that and vulnerable. You know, we have to get down to our, you know, the ones and zeros sometimes and feel totally destitute and sobbing such as you were. And then that opens our hearts up. And then, you know, it's always there, but, you know, we get all busy with life and we forget to open our hearts up to it.
Yes. Yeah. And so anyway, now, you know, over the years, I've become a healer and I'm a crystal and energy and sound healer and workshop sort of teacher and also a musician still playing in a band because still learning from music and art. So yes, the crop circle.
Can you tell people what your website is, how they can connect with you?
Well, I've got a few websites, and I can be contacted through, there's a www.crystalvoice.co.uk. I've also got one, which is my name, which is jackiecallis.co.uk, and that's JACQUICALLIS for sugar .co.uk, and that's got links to all the different things I do, although it has to be updated because I've changed my life just recently. But no time to update things. So the crop circle, I went to I'd been wanting to go in a crop circle for a long time, and I was having a part of the sound healing module. I went back to learn about tuning forks this summer with my teacher, Dee Banton, who lives in Wiltshire, fantastic woman and teacher. And she goes in crop circles a lot. She holds workshops in there with crystal skulls and things. And I thought if I go at the end of July, I might make a crop circle as well, and she could guide me into one. So in the evening after we'd been studying during the day, it was her birthday actually, and she said we looked on cropcircleconnector.com, which is a website Ebby looks at to see which new circles have come in. She told me there hadn't been very many crop circles at all in that area, which where there usually are so many, partly because it'd been very dry, I think, there.
Can you explain about that, about why it makes a difference if it's dry or not dry? Because you told me that before. It was really interesting.
Yes, that's right. I've been told that there's something about the rainwater going down through the chalk. All the ground around there is chalk, and going through the ground, and something about it going through the chalk to below it, and something about the electromagnetic charge that's needed to form a crop circle. Now, I've also read that there has to be quite a lot of water around, actually, to stop the crop circles going up in flame, because I've read that it actually looks like the stalks have been microwaved and that there's an incredible heat. And without water being there, they would just burn up, basically. But after a crop circle's been made, you'll find the ground is very dry. So that's really all that I know. But what had happened was that there were no circles because it had been a very, very dry period. And then we looked on her birthday, and suddenly we found two which were very, very local and very accessible. And also one had got language in it, which was she was very excited about, and everybody seems to have been very excited about this one. They were in Alton Barnes in Wiltshire, and this area was the first area to really ever get crop circles. So, you know, it's a magical area as well, and it's full of ley lines and white horses, Avebury, Stonehenge is not far away. It's got all that stuff going on for it, you know.
I'd like to know a little bit about the white horses, because you talked about that before. And there's white horses that are actually in the hills. And I also wanted to say that I will post those two crop circles on my site. And Jackie, maybe you could, is there a place you could post them so people could see them?
Yes.
Put it on your
Jackie. Well, I will, on the Jackie Cows at Code UK, under somewhere in there, I'll put a link on the front to, I'll make up a page with this information on it, with the links to the places, because it's great, cropcircleconnector.com. I don't know if you know it, but whenever there's a crop circle, there's all sorts of comments and articles and stuff that people post. And so there's great imagery, and all the latest photographs go on there as well. So I'll put links and everything on.
Yeah, nice to know so that people can see where you were, because I know I wanted to see where you went. And
yeah,
then on front
right.
of them, you can see the white horse up on the
you
hill.
You can.
And it's can you explain what that is? It's just engraved in the hill somehow. And
yeah, well, all that area is chalk land, and I think, you know, there's Wiltshire. There's probably 8 to 11 white horses there. Some of them have been, the grass has grown over them, but they really are just, the turf's just taken up, and they're just made from their horses, usually facing to the left, that are on the hillsides. And when I've looked into them before, I mean, there is actually one just over the border in Oxfordshire, which is, I think it's called the Uffington White Horse, and that is actually, Uffington Horse it's called, yeah, that's 3,000 years old, that is.
Oh.
Whereas these ones in Wiltshire are all kind of in the last 300 years, and I think that they've really been made, they've been commissioned by people, gentry, for occasions. Although I don't know why, there's been lots of crop circles in these fields right next to the white horses, so for some reason the aliens are also linking in with these horses. The Uffington white horse.
And they're all facing to the left. What's to the left?
They're facing to the left, but the Uffington horse faces to the right, and people always make a distinction about that. So that's why I said that, because I don't know why. I know the Uffington horse is very near the Dragon Hill. It's called what's called Dragon Hill, and it's actually, some people think, because its tongue is like forked, that actually it's meant to be a dragon, although it looks more like a horse. It actually looks not so much like a proper horse. It looks more like one of the old cave paintings of horses. But still, it's still to me more a horse, maybe with a snake's tongue. But anyway, or a dragon's tongue. But
a mighty powerful being, either way. You know, dragon, a horse, mighty powerful being.
That's right. And also the Dragon Hill, where the Uffington one is meant to be the site where St. George slew the dragon, sort of thing. But that's what the ancient sort of wisdom will say about it, sort of. But it's just interesting that the crop circles often appear near these white horses. And the white horse the symbol of speed, and I guess the...
purity.
Sorry?
Speed and purity and white light and ascension.
Yes, that's right. Everything that crop circles are made of, or made with, you know, because they're made in that flash, aren't they, sort of thing. And,
and they're made in like 20 minutes or something like that, right?
Very fast, and I mean, I think it's a sound. I think it's sound that comes down, because I read the ancient Greeks remark that geometry is frozen music, and I think it's just there, like an imprint, you know, sound with incredible heat that just imprints it down. And light and sound are the same, aren't they, anyway? So
yes, right, exactly. So, Jackie, can you tell us about your actual experience of going into the crop circle? I mean, it's such an amazing thing, and I know a lot of us are never going to be able to have that experience, so we'd really like to hear your personal reaction and interaction with the whole experience.
Oh, right. Well, it was, my first time, so I was very excited to go in crop circles, and I was glad I went with a teacher, really, because some of these circles are very difficult to get to, and you can walk for hours to get to them, and these ones were accessible. But having said that, they were still in fields, and so that really marked a difference, because these weren't tourist destinations. I mean, I've been to Avebury, Stonehenge, and we can't even get into Stonehenge anymore, but I've been to Avebury, and you just have kind of buses of tourists there. When I was there was a double-decker bus of Japanese tourists there, and everybody's just rushing around looking at them. No one's treating it like sacred space. Whereas the difference with the crop circles, what I really experienced was this was not a tourist destination. When you walked inside them, suddenly everything sort of changed, really. There's a real sense of sacred space. They were vast. You couldn't make out the shape at all from the ground. You can only really make the shape out from above. They're so big, you know you're not going to be able to be in, inhabit all of it and see it, and you're just really drawn to certain areas. But there's just this real feeling that everybody that's there is there out of respect, and it's a real sense of it being a sacred space. And people do their own rituals within it and take their own ritualistic instruments or whatever, and there was just a real sense of that for me in there. I mean, I toned quite a lot inside. When I first lay in down inside one of the letters, actually, inside the circle, which is at in Eastfield, which has all the lettering and the two huge big circles that possibly, I think you talked to me once about that possibly being at the end of duality, and that would make sense, it being a circle that I would like to go into. And I sat in one of the circles, and I just went back to being a kid, actually, because I hadn't been in crops in a crop field probably since then. But I also remember that that's when I'd really linked in with aliens, and I just had this lovely, secure, nostalgic sort of feeling for home, really, which was great. And you lie down, all you can see is the crops and the sky, and it's just, you know, very magical, magical feeling. So that's really nice, that ritual in there. I also really like the fact that these crop circles, When you're sitting in one, you can see the next field, and you can see the tractors and they're harvesting, and you know that crop circle's not going to be there the next day. And they're so phenomenal. You know, some of them have got 400 shapes in them, and they're just so... I mean, I've seen one next to one of the White Horse pictures. I've seen one that was made by 8 people who do crop circles, artists, and it was just really small, and it took 8 of them, and it's just... It's all right, but, you know, it's nothing impressive at all. And these are vast. Oh, gosh, these are vast, and they're so clever. I mean, they're just, you know, you'd have to be an amazing artist. You know, you'd have to be an Escher or someone. You'd have to not just be a crop circle artist to be able to design these things. They're phenomenal.
Right.
So you are aware of that when you're inside of the shape that you're in. But you have to keep trying to use different parts of your brain to remember the pitch you saw and then to see where you are. So it's quite, you know, it's a different sort of experience. We did try to write down the letters that were inside Dear Me, and actually as we started writing them, trying to draw the shapes, the pen dropped on the ground, on the corpse that had been flattened, and we just lost it. It just disappeared completely.
Oh, I think your soul was up to something there, wasn't it?
Yeah, so afterwards I asked the Arcturians what had about the crop circles, because I took my crystal skulls in with me and I meditated with them after, and one of them is linked to Arcturus, and they said what I got was that they downloaded the keys and that now they could play me constantly because they had been, you know, I'd been inside there, and that kind of made real sense to me, you know. And I love the impermanence of them as an artist, the fact that that's such a great lesson in art for something just to be gone, you know, that it was just there, the beauty of it was there for the moment, you know. The imprint would still be there, of course, and it's definitely imprinted on me.
Beautiful, totally beautiful. And we can post all this. I can post this with the pictures and some of the other things on my Facebook, Suzanne Lee, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E-L-I-E, so that those that want to see the pictures and hear more about what Jackie and I are saying, and we'll probably have a little interpretation from the Arcturian about the different circles, since we have limited time here and we want you to get this wonderful meditation. But that's another
thing. That would be lovely.
As well as Jackie's. Do you want to say your site again?
Yes. If you go to jackiecallis.co.uk, but Jackie is JACQUICALLIS for sugar. .co.uk.
.co.uk, right?
.co.uk.
Yeah, great. Okay. So perhaps we can take a moment and go into this beautiful meditation, and then maybe we'll have a little bit of time to chat a bit at the end. So how do you feel about that, Jackie?
That would be great. And also, when I went and did inside and I did some sound, if in the meditation I do sound and you want to, anybody wants to join in, that would be great. It'd be really nice to everybody to join in their own way in the toning.
Yes, and that the voice is such a expression of ourself. And toning is so wonderful because you don't have to sing. All you have to do is just open up your mouth, breathe, and allow a tone to come through. And I think that's why people like to tone so much. And then Jackie, of course, is a singer, so she takes it to a whole other octave. So we look forward to it, and so we're going to segue now into this beautiful meditation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. If we can just take a moment now just to relax, make ourselves comfortable, whether we're sitting or lying, check our backs are as straight as possible, our necks long, our shoulders relaxed down away from our heads, our chins not pointing upwards but slightly downward, our mouths, the jaws relaxed, you can swallow, chatter your teeth, lick your lips and your gums, smile. And then take some deep breaths. As our eyes close and go inward with our intention, and our breath focuses us and moves any thoughts down, down into the ground. Each breath out, we can feel ourselves descending down into Gaia, and now taking our thoughts, fears, worries, anxieties, and transmuting them all to light there. We're grounding down, laying our roots down now, deep, deep down into the warm earth. With every breath out, we're letting go of what we've done today, and maybe thoughts about what we're about to do. And then with our in-breath, we move up to our heart center, just to feel the energy growing there, to give thanks and feel gratitude. As we just relax and enjoy a visualization where we all enter our crop circle. We start our pilgrimage and journey here. I'd like us now to imagine that we're not lying or sitting down, but we're in a car in England, in Wiltshire, the county of the crop circles, ley lines, magical white chalk horses, and we're driving toward our crop circle destination. The roads are quite narrow, and the fields are close together. The fields are golden brown colours, different shades where some wheat has already been harvested and some still stands. We're winding up to the top of a hill. And as we go over the brow of the hill, we stop in a lay-by and look down. And there we see our crop circle. We see some cars parked to the side of the field. And count the amount of fields across this is. So we'll be able to find when we get there. We look at our destination. It's a summer's evening. It's still light. It's still warm. We start to drive down the hill towards the road that will take us to our crop circle. As we approach, take a left turn. Everything suddenly seems bigger. We can't see the circle anymore. All we can see is wheat and hills in the distance. We know we're in a very special place, full of ley lines, full of energy, the home of the crop circle. Silbury Hill, Avebury close by, Stonehenge, all close by. At last, we come across the parked cars. They're parked at the edge of a field, just on the edge of a farmer's field. We see a place and we decide to park and get out of the car. There's a slight chill in the air. The sky is a silvery blue. We start walking down towards the circle field until we're side by side with it. We can't make out the circle at all now. We just see people inside from waist up, covering a vast expanse of the field we know is the true circle size. We'd forgotten how tall wheat is, strong it is. How dry the brown earth beneath our feet. We don't know how to get into the circle, though. We don't want to destroy any more crops by walking on them. And then we notice somebody leaving the circle, so we can retrace their steps. As we pass each other, we nod and smile knowingly. As we walk the previously trodden path, running our fingers over the wheat, maybe, making sure we don't fall on the furrowed earth. We look at our feelings and thoughts to see what we're taking into the circle with us. Are these thoughts and feelings that want to come and be healed? Or are they thoughts and feelings we can release? Is there anything you'd like to take into the circle with you to be healed? We just focus on this for a few moments as we take our last few steps before we suddenly find ourselves inside the crop circle. There's a sense of timelessness here, as if we could just cut the energy, the frozen sound. No time like the present. We look at the ground, see the way the wheat has fallen, and understand how those beautiful shadings are made. We can't see the pattern from here, it's just too vast. But we walk around the circle and around some of the pattern, following our own route, which is guiding us to the place where we want to receive our information. We come across our space, empty in front of us, and we lie or sit, smelling the wheat, remembering, looking at the sky and the clouds which clear to reveal the sun. Just before it sets, here we sit or lie and receive our healing. We're free to walk anywhere we want to in this circle and explore anything we want to explore. And to join in with sounding, to receive our own keys. We welcome in the Arcturians and any other guides, masters that we wish to bring in.
As I bask inside the love, I surrender to the now. I don't know what will happen, but my spirit tells me how. As I float among my memories of who I've been and why, I know I can release them with a blessing and a sigh. All I've been and had and known are circling round my mind. I see now what I've looked for, what I've tried so hard to find. Surprising as it may be, I need to look no more. I found myself at long last. I'm deep within my core. This core, it now is glowing and shines out into my life. I know if I can just relax, it will ease all of my strife. Working hard and suffering long no longer wins the day. I found in place beside me. Now if I can only stay. Can I remember how I'm feeling when I'm here so deep inside? Can I be this me in daily life? Can I release my need to hide? So long I've kept my secrets from those I feared would judge me. But no longer can I trap myself. It's time to let me be free. My secrets, they're not fading with the memories of the past. As I become myself again, I'm coming home at last. So long I have awaited for this moment of completeness. I hear, I see, I feel it. I can even taste its sweetness. If I can just remember these sensations through my day, not only will I know the how, I will also know the way.
Thank you.
We notice a sense of ritual apparent in these crop circles as people bring in their sacred instruments, play, sound, or write or draw. The healing creative arts. Opening up to higher dimensions inside these fantastic circles. We feel free to move around and just be guided to wherever we want to go. We take a few moments now to move around in our own space and have our own experience. And so it's time to leave. We get up and stretch. Look around the circle for a last time. Note the clouds, the colour of the sky, the people remaining. Take it all in one more time. Give our thanks. Ask to remember what we've received. And to be able to use it again. and then we leave the circle and retrace our own steps back to the edge of the field and then back to our cars. And then we drive the route, the windy road, back over the hill and down again until we find ourselves back in our own spaces, either lying or sitting, yet holding on to that knowledge, that access to the higher dimensions as we bring ourselves back into our own reality, assimilating all and connecting to all. I hope everybody has a lovely journey. Thank you very much.